Morning, everyone. Seeing Helen, those white trousers reminded me, this has nothing to do with what I'm going to talk about, right? Last week, we had some friends come to see us, and they've got a big retriever dog. And Jude was dressed a bit like you, not quite the same top, but these really bright trousers. And they said, we must go for a walk around Klein. Yeah. And anyway, off we go. And it's a lovely dog, but... And it decided not to jump in a nice clean river. It saw one of those really stagnant pools. And all of a sudden, he just took a sidestep in it. And as soon as it did, Jude, she knew what was going to happen. And she took a few steps away. And the owner's, oh, out, Eliza, out, get out. And he was knocking. He was, that half, the bottom half was black, you know. And it does, as all dogs do, if they know that people are not quite sure about them, and Jude's not a great dog lover, it just took three steps, went, and wear lovely black trousers. So you can imagine the look on Jude's face. I said, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. No one will see you. Well, you know. Anyway, so there we go. Let me move this. So... I've got a couple of scriptures today. One is from Psalm 139, which a lot of you will be familiar with, and the other one's from the book of Joshua. And it's in the Good News Bible, because these are verses that meant a lot to me at a particular time, but they still do. And some of you won't remember this, but some of you will. It's got little pictures in as well, you know, so... Right, so... these two scriptures that relate to an episode in my earlier days, when I was age 22, so a little while ago. They were important then, and they're important now. They've been important throughout my life. So some of you have been here quite a long time, and you've heard some of this stuff before, so I hope it still encourages you. Some of you are newer and younger, and so hopefully it will be good for you to hear. But it's about encouragement. And the title of my talk is Overcoming Words of Promise. The sense that God is sometimes reserves his best for us in our challenging times. Okay, so let's have a look at these two scriptures. First of all, we'll look at Joshua chapter 1, verse 5 to 9. Now, when I told Eleanor what I was going to do, she said, oh, Dad, I'd love to come out and read that for you, because that is just what she wants to do. I said, okay, then, come on, Eleanor, you come out and read it. She's insisting. And so when you look at these nice people, right, it's not like standing in court when you're looking at the judge and the jury, all right?
Okay. Making it better.
Is that...
What a joy.
Let me find it for you.
Thank you. The microphone, which I don't have to do in court. This one there.
Okay. You're okay. It's a bit low, this, isn't it?
That's right.
Is there anyone who can...
Oh, thanks.
Thanks.
That's all. Thank you. Thank you. Joshua, no one will be able to defeat you as long as you live. I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will always be with you. I will never abandon you. Be determined and confident, for you will be the leader of these people as they occupy this land, which I promised their ancestors. Just be determined, be confident, and make sure that you obey the whole law that my servant Moses gave you. Do not neglect any part of it, and you will succeed wherever you go. Be sure that the book of the law is always read in your worship. Study it day and night, and make sure that you obey everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Remember that I have commanded you to be determined and confident. Don't be afraid or discouraged, for I, the Lord your God, am with you wherever you go.
Thanks, Eleanor. Sorry. Okay, lovely. And now... Carol's going to come and read the second reading, which is Psalm 139, and a lot of you will be familiar with much of that.
Lord, you have examined me, and you know me. You know everything I do. From far away, you understand all my thoughts. You see me, whether I'm working or resting. You know all my actions. Even before I speak, you already know what I will say. You are all round me on every side. You protect me with your power. Your knowledge of me is too deep. It's beyond my understanding. Where could I go to escape from you? Where could I get away from your presence? If I went up to heaven, you would be there. If I lay down in the world of the dead, you would be there. If I flew away beyond the east or lived in the farthest place in the west, you would be there to lead me. You would be there to help me. I could ask the darkness to hide me or the light round me to turn into night. But even darkness is not dark for you, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are the same to you. You created every part of me. You put me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because you are to be feared. All you do is strange and wonderful. I know it with all my heart. When my bones were being formed, carefully put together in my mother's womb, when I was growing there in secret, you knew that I was there. You saw me before I was born. The days allotted to me had all been recorded in your book before any of them ever began. Oh God, how difficult I find your thoughts. How many of them there are. If I counted them, they would be more than the grains of sand. And when I awake, I am still with you.
Thanks, Carol. Amazing, aren't they, those words? I mean, I love the Good News Bible because I got used to it. So what do I like about that Joshua promise? So Joshua, he was the successor to Moses, this great and wonderful leader who had led the Israelites out of Egypt into freedom. And it must have been so difficult following Moses, wasn't it? This amazing leader. And, you know, I said to Sue, you know, a football analogy, Sue Lenthal, that is. I mean, it's like, who's going to replace Guardiola at Man City, is it? Or if Jim was here, where's he? He's not there, is he? It's replacing Alex Ferguson. You know, it's so difficult to follow a great leader. But God says to him, look, I will be with you. No one will defeat you. And he said, well, that's great then, isn't it? He's had that command. But no, Joshua had a part to play to inherit that promise. He was to be a co-worker with God, and he had to be determined. He had to be confident. He had to be strong and courageous. So that word of God was there to encourage him and start to strengthen him. But Joshua, I believe, had to learn those practices. It didn't just fall out of the sky. Wow, that's it. He had to learn those practices. The strength that God promised, he learnt while possessing vulnerability. And I think that's the huge difference, isn't it, for Christian leaders. The anointing is on weakness and vulnerability. If you think of some of the despots of the of history, Alexander the Great, Genghis Khan, there was no vulnerability in them. That's just power mad. But God was saying to Joshua, no, my type of leader is going to be different. I'm going to anoint your weakness to make you strong, similar to David. What do I like about the Psalm 139? So this is from David. Wow. He is so deep, isn't he? He is so deep. And he appreciated the fact that God knew him intimately, surrounded and understood by God, and it blew his mind. You know, that God knew his thoughts. God knew his thinking patterns, the good, the bad, and the ones he struggled with. He knew them all. And David couldn't rationalize it. Only just to acknowledge it. He got it that God created him in the womb. and that he was unique. So that passage has encouraged me all through my days. So I'm going to share a little bit of testimony now, just to try and illustrate the idea that the sense that God is with us in difficult times and troubling times, and that he speaks strong words into us in those times. It's not easy, it's not comfortable, but it is true. So here we go. I'm 18, a little while ago. In a response to a prayer cry from me that God revealed himself, he did. And I experienced his powerful presence on a particular day. And I knelt down and submitted at last and said, yeah, I will follow you. When I experienced an amazing transformation, there was healing and joy. And where there was grey before, all of life became colourful. I learned to serve and joined a wonderful church. It was like a honeymoon time as a new Christian. So seeking to serve God, I looked for work. Very intense, really keen, and I wanted to work helping the poor and the needy. And eventually, after much soul searching, I felt God leading me to apply for teacher's training at Worcester. I discussed with the school's careers officer, and he said, oh, no, 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 no. You need to go to university. Ah, all right. And then I must have communicated to them, well, no, I think God wants me to go to teacher training as an 18-year-old. And apparently my teacher was sitting in the staff room and said, oh, Andy Dallas, he thinks God has told him to go to teacher training college. And apparently another dear Christian lady who I knew sat there and said, well, perhaps he did. So I don't know how the conversation went after that, but I thought, well, that makes me smile. So off to Worcester College I go. I loved the whole experience. I met great new people. I had freedom, independence. I joined lots of clubs. I joined the Rambling Club. Rock and roll at Worcester College, right? I was in the college football team, in the first team, I will let you know. And I joined the God Squad, the Christian Union, which was good. I met Jude, can you believe it, on the first day. We're both 18. And there was chatted with two other friends, and then we both confessed later, our first reaction, I could never get on with that person. I thought, I would never express things the way she does. And she said, he misunderstands everything I say. And as you say, a long time later, we're still there. Oh, dear. Anyway, 3 years pass. All good. Enjoyed teaching practice. I had one teaching practice in this really rough school. And the teacher, my tutor came in, he said, Andy, you're doing really well. I said, why is that? He says, well, they're all sitting down. Right, we come to the end of the third year. We're both a bit dull because we realise we're going to do a year in different places. And we said, perhaps we ought to get engaged. And we did. So Jude went to Oxford, to a college there to train teaching the deaf and the partially hearing. And I stayed on to do a one-year course to convert to a degree. So all seems good. It's not so funny now because then something bad happened. So in September, October of that year, I became clinically depressed over a few weeks. And I just couldn't continue with my course. And I had to return home to my parents. As you can imagine, wow, I'm 22. I'm defeated, I'm crushed, I'm broken, and I'm unwell. Oh, so I'm no longer going to be a teacher then. Well, as it turned out, I became a financial advisor. But that's just the by. My hopes were crushed, as you can imagine. My dreams are smashed. God, you promised to look after me. How could you let this happen? Oh, and how I grieved. But that's not the full story. Because during those last 2 weeks at college, as things were unraveling, God provided me with two encounters with some older Christians who gave me these scriptures, these promises. And they didn't just read them to me, they prophesied over me. And the first one, it was Psalm 139. And on the college campus, there was the lecturers, some of them lived there. And there was a Christian lady, Pat Hindle, I remember her name. I think she was a mum with young children, and she invited me to tea. She must have known something was wrong. And I've just got a picture of her, this young woman with children climbing all over her, trying to comfort me as I'm crying. Anyway, she read that to me, and I can hear her voice now. I think the kids are gone with her husband. And as she finished it, she said, "Oh, Andy, the Lord has something wonderful for you." And I thought, I can hear that. What's that got to do with what's happening to me? You know, it's the Lord has something wonderful for you. So in the midst of my distress, I had that word. And then shortly after, I met with a Christian guy. He was a doctor, an eye surgeon. And he used to, on a Wednesday, just minister to people. And he had two ladies who met with him. I called them the older ladies. Well, they were probably about 40 or something like that. And one of them prayed in a different room whilst he and the other lady talked and prayed. And I shared what had happened, and they prayed with me. And he said, "Right, Andy, this is a physiological thing." I thought it was a devilish thing. You know, it's demons and stuff. It was a physiological thing. You can't help it. You need to go home and recover. Be with your family, with church. Yes, yes. And then this lady who was praying in the other room came in, and she said, "Oh, the Lord has shown me that he's done something very deep in you, and he has something wonderful for you." So it's the same. I took those and I went home. And aided by loving family and church friends, I recovered. Not quickly. I had a deeper walk with God. But those two scriptures, I imbibed those, and I would read them, and I would still say to God, "What do you mean by this? Because this is not how I feel. This is not what is happening." But in time, they became part of me. And they still do to this day, because my journey with him is still going on. And whilst we like to think, "Oh, that's it, it's done," my experience is it isn't quite like that. But he remains with us. We're on a journey, aren't we? And one of the things I remember on the Joshua thing about determined and confident is he says, "Wherever you place your feet, I will give you victory." Now, it's not Superman, but whenever I go into challenging situations, sometimes I jump out of bed and think, "Oh, I don't know about this, you know." But I just look down at my feet and he reminds me, you know, "I'm going to be with you wherever you step, wherever you place your feet." So to you who are listening, just as he stood by me, my heart and my message is, he will stand by you. And he will speak strong words over you of overcoming. He will speak strong words. And we need to listen for each other, because sometimes when we're in the midst of things, it's not easy to hear those things, is it? He will speak strong words over you. And his words are alive and active. Scripture says they're alive and active. Those words which we read, I know we need to go careful. As Ben said last week, you can't just take things out of the Bible. "Oh, that's for me." You can't. It's not that. But if we're sensitive to the Spirit, we can hear and we can share them. And those words become alive and active in us because Jesus is the living word and they shape us. So let us stand by each other. God is with you every moment of the day. Amen. Okay.